Shavua Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Vav, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah at the bottom of Ayin Hey Amud Beit. So, going further with the elements of mixtures and how it is that we're supposed to be metaken the mixtures, because remember that the Gemara originally at the beginning of the parak says that that's one of the main points why we need our Mishnah, which includes all these subsequent kinds of mixtures, as opposed to what we learned in Temura, because our parak is coming to tell me what to do about the problem, not simply the fact that something became usur. So suppose we have a case. Up until now, things were pretty clear because we had the same type of carbon that was getting mixed with the carbon, and it was just a different bialim. So we just had to handle the problem of what do we do about smicha, which got us into that whole discussion about smichas noshim and why it would be about noshim lo and so on. Now, we're getting into a different problem because we have a different kedusha, not a different owner. So, says the Mishnah, in a case where an asham, which is, of course, kachim kachim, and since it's kachim kachim, it needs a shechit b'tzafein, and since it's kachim kachim, it can only be eaten in the azara to zichrei kohuna, and since it's kachim kachim, it can only be eaten for yom v'layla. And it get mixed up with the shlamim, which all of that isn't true. Shlamim can be shechted anywhere in the azara. A shlamim can be eaten by anyone, and a shlamim can be eaten in the entire Yerushalayim. It doesn't have to be eaten in the Azor. There's other differences, and that is that a shlamim requires snufa chaz v'shok, and a asham does not. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, look, it's no big problem, because you could check both of them in the tzofein, because a shlamim in the tzofein is just as happy as being anywhere else, and you'd have to eat it kechamushabem, so that means you'd have to eat it only in the azora, you'd have to eat it only for zichri kuhuna, and you'd have to eat it for only one day. So the chachomim say, no, that's not a good idea, because that way you're being mevim kachim lebet apsul, and ein mevim kachim lebet apsul. So anything that you do that creates a situation whereby it's more likely that these kachim are going to become pasul because there's fewer people that can eat it, or there's less time that you can eat it, then you're more likely to have a problem of them becoming noser because you get a chance to finish it. And because of that, your eitzah, Rabbi Shimon, is not a good eitzah. Because if you're going to be shechting the shlamim and you need to eat them as if they're an asham, then they may well turn into noser because you didn't have enough time to finish them, enough people to finish them. And the klal is, ein mevi'im kodashim lebet apsul. But how about if the shechita was already done, the carbon was already brought, and now the leftover pieces in terms of the basar, what about then if the pieces were mixed up of different karbonas? Let's say maybe kachim kachim b'kachim kali, like the asham and the shlamim, or maybe even anechalim l'yom echad, such as even a toda. Toda is also only eaten for one day. B'necholim l'shnei yomi v'layla, like a shlamim. What do you do then? Then there's no choice. Then, of course, everybody's mighty. What are you going to throw it out? I mean, there's no way to get around it by saying, ein mevim kachim lebet apsul, and therefore go ahead and wait till it gets hamum, and then you'll be able to sell it. I mean, yeah, there's an eitzah. But over here, when you're talking about chatichot, there's no eitzah at all. And therefore, everybody's mighty. Then in that case, obviously, you'd have to eat kachomu shebehem. Tanei tana kamed de rav. Anyway, this Tana was saying over in front of Rav, the din that he was mekabel as a brayta, that shviyas ein lokim b'damar truma. You cannot use shviyas money to buy truma. Why is that? I mean, you're allowed to buy food with shviyas because you're exchanging food for food. That's not a problem. But why can't you use it even if it's truma? Ah, because the truma doesn't have any limitations about when it can be eaten. Truma can be eaten forever. So let's say you have grain of truma. And now if you purchase it with Dmei Shviyas, you remember what the din is, that the last thing that was purchased, that becomes the din of Shemitah, Schal on it. And that would mean that you would only be allowed to eat it up until the Zman HaBiur, and all the other things, you're not allowed to sell it, and so on. So you're basically being mamayet the time in which it can be eaten. Instead of being eaten for the next 20 years, it's going to have to be eaten maybe in the next month. I mean, if it's the type of thing that's getting close to the Zman HaBiur, where it won't be available in the sun any longer. So you can't do that. So the Rabbanan said to Rava, you know, that's only true, not according to Rabbi Shimon, but since Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah says that there's no problem in the case of the Asham that got mixed up with the Shlamim, you can just eat them both with the bigger Chumrah, despite the fact that is going to create a possible limit on the Shlamim, which can lead to a possible loss of kashrus because it will become Noser. He didn't care. So apparently this must not have been said according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon doesn't seem to care about the problem of Ein Mevi'im Kashrus LeBeit HaPsul. That's what they said in the Beis HaMedrash to Rav, his Talmid. So he said, no, that's not true. It could be perfectly true according to Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon, what was the case in the Mishnah? The case in the Mishnah was where it was already mixed, and then he's saying better than waiting to get a mum and so on. If it's already mixed, so then it's fine. I'm not going to worry about it at that point. But he didn't say you could do it l'chatchila, and all that it says over here, all of this brisa, all that it says is not to go and buy it. So that's a l'chatchila. So why do you think you sound like Rabbi Shimon? L'chatchila lo. Really? L'chatchila lo? Are we saying really that Rabbi Shimon? I mean, it's true that the case in the Mishnah was a case where it was already mixed, but there does seem to be evidence that Rabbi Shimon would have said, I don't care about Mevi'im Kachim Abet Apsul, even in a case of l'chatchila. Eisvei Abaya points out to Rava, here's a case, and this is a Mishnah that we're going to have later on, right? And this is talking about Kachim. And it says that Kohanim are allowed to eat Kachim however the heck they please. So if they want to eat it, Tsluyim, Shlukim, Mevushalim, you want to eat it roasted, or you want to eat it stewed, or you want to eat it as just cooked normally, not a deep stew like a cholent. And if they want to put in all kinds of different spices, you want to put ketchup in it, put ketchup in it. Latet latochan tavle chulin v'tavle truma. You can use any type of spices you want. Even spices of truma. But I thought you're not allowed. And this is Rabbi Shimon, it should say. Divri Rabbi Shimon. But I thought you said you're not allowed. Did you just quote that brayta? So you're not allowed to limit the zman of the achila of truma by buying them with shviyas. Certainly, I mean, this is terrible. I mean, shviyas mela. I mean, that's one thing. You may have a couple of months left to eat it. Over here, you're going to have to eat it all in the same day. And it says that's okay. And Rabbi Shimon says it's okay. So apparently he really doesn't care about being mamayat the zman of the achila at all, right? Says Rava. No, this is not a valid point, because over here we're talking about truma of, you said, tavlin. There is no diraisa ever on any type of tavlin of truma. So, okay, I understand the Rabbanu made a takana that you're supposed to take truma from tavlin, but we're not going to make a takana on that takana and say, if you have to bring truma from tavlin, make sure that you're not going to be mamayit zman achilasam. That's already overdone. So because of that, that's why Rabbi Shimon wasn't makbid. But Rabbi Shimon would agree that if you're talking about a diraisa and a truma diraisa, you would not be allowed to be mevi lidei psul. At least that's the way I see it. And the only reason that he says in the Mishnah you could be mevi lidei psul, that's because there was basically was already done. It was b'diavad. But over here, why would you want to go out and do that l'chatchila? So anach l'truma tavlin d'rabbana. So Abaya says, okay, I got another Mishnah for you. How about the Mishnah Maaseh Sheni? Mishnah Maaseh Sheni says, don't buy truma with money of Maaseh Sheni. Why? Because money of Maaseh Sheni, you're actually only going to be able to eat it in Yerushalayim. And this way you're being mamayed ba'achila. Because, I mean, a lot of people are not going to be able to make it to eat it there. And therefore, it's like you can't eat it if you're an onen and so on. So that's also being mamayit, and Rabbi Shimon says it's okay. Well, why is it okay? This is a lechatchila. Why should you be mamayit in the achilav truma? there's no reason, and we're not talking about over here the case of where you could give me any type of answer to say this case is different, and nonetheless, says Rabbi Shimon is matir. So you see that you're wrong, ishtikli. So he gave up. He didn't have any kind of answer. Because, I mean, what are you going to say in this case? It's talking about truma derabbanan. I mean, it doesn't say it's talking about tavlin. So it's truma, any kind of truma. I mean, that would mean wine, whatever. The normal things that you would buy with the kesef v'yisheni Yerushalayim, right? So you can't give me, I mean, you could try, but why in the world would anybody believe that we're talking only about a case of truma derabbanan here? So here Rava gave up. Yeah, okay, you're right. I guess it's true that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not only a din in Bidiavad, it's even Lechatchila. Anyway, so Abaye came and he visited Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said to him, look, you know, you did a good job showing Rava that he's wrong, but you could have brought him another Mishnah also from Shvius, and that would also prove him wrong, because it says in the Mishnah in Shvius, you're not allowed to cook a veggie of Shvius using truma oil, because that way you're going to be bringing the truma lebet apsul. And it says Rabbi Shimon Matir. So you see that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold that there's a problem even lechatchila. What good would it have done me to brought him that? I asked him from the other Mishnah. I asked him in the Mishnah about the Tavlin of Truma, and he said, no, Tavlin of Truma is only Drabana. He'll say the same thing over here. He'll say it's talking about veggies, and veggies is also only Drabana, and there's no Deraisa Truma on veggies. Said Rabbi Yosef, we want to read that again, please. Look carefully at what it says. It says that the Truma was the oil, and the veggie was the Shemitah. So then, I mean, if what you're saying is true, if it's talking about veggies of Truma, it should have said the opposite. So then, look, if it doesn't matter one way or the other, fine. So I understand. You could say what you want. But if you're telling me it's only because it's Trumas Yerek Derabanan, then it is said backwards. Ipchami by Loyal Misne, it should have said Yerek Shel Truma, which is Derabanan, in the Shemen of Shviz, that's where Rabbi Shimon is matir. Because the Yerek is only the Rabbanan, but over here it says the Shemen is the Truma, and that means it is the Araisa, and Rabbi Shimon says it's matir, says Rabbi Yosef. So I'm asking you again, why didn't you ask him from this Mishnah? Don't tell me it's talking about a Rabbanan. Well, okay, that's true, but even if I would have asked him from this Mishnah, he would have gotten out of it. Because, look, I asked him from our Mishnah, right? And over here, our Mishnah says that Shlamim and Asham is no problem to bring the Shlamim of the Psul. And he said to me, yes, that's because it's Bidiyavad. It's because they already got mixed, right? But he says, he claims you're not able to do that. And Lechatchila, well, maybe that's what it's talking about over here. Maybe that what happened over here is that these veggies have been sitting in oil of truma. So the Mishnah is saying, look, once they're in the oil of truma, so then you can cook them because they're already in the oil of truma. So what are you going to do? So it's talking about that it was already mitarev. Maybe that's what he would say. He couldn't say that, said Rabbi Yosef. You missed the boat. You should have asked him from this Mishnah. I'll tell you why he couldn't have said that here. Because if it was talking about that it was mixed already, so why would the Rabbanan argue? Rabbanan agreed over here about the Evarim, didn't they? The Rabbanan say, once it's mixed, then there's nothing to do. There's no Eitzah. So then fine, so go ahead. So then the same thing would be true over here. No, says Rabbi Yosef. Says Abaye, no, it's not true. Because they would say that even though you have two things that are mixed, like the Mishnah, it doesn't matter. Because you always have an Eitzah, right? Let it get a mum, you said, and go ahead and buy its korbanos. So the same thing that would be true, even though it was mixed. I mean, eat it without cooking it. What's the problem? Says Rabbi Yosef, no, it's not the same at all. In the Mishnah, there's an Eitzah. There's no Eitzah over here, because what are you going to do? There you could say, let them get a mum. What are you going to say over here? There is no takana of getting a mum. I'm such a joke. So what could you say? The most that you could say is that, look, if lamaisi, you can't eat it this way because it's just sitting in the oil, so you need to boil it up. There's no takana. So then it should be the same thing as the case of chaticha shebechatichot, because since there's no takana, the Rabbanon also agreed that you're oichel kachomer shehem, and you could have shown Rava that Rabbi Shimon holds that you can, so that means we're talking about a case where they're not mixed already, because otherwise Rabbanon wouldn't have argued, and Rabbi Shimon is saying you're allowed to lechatchila put the veggies in the oil of the truma and cook it. Now don't tell me that it was mixed. No, Ravina, it's not true. The case of the truma is not like the case of the chatichas. Chaticha shebechatichas, there's nothing to do. Over here, you could squeeze the oil out. So you said takanta beschita. So if you squeeze the oil out, then the brisa could be talking about a case where it was already mixed. And afal pikein makes sense that the Rabbona would argue, because you could squeeze it out. And nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon is basically saying that it's okay. Says Rabbi Yosef, no. The point is, there is, you're telling me there's a takana and that it's like live animals? There's no takana. And the Rabbana would have to agree here, because what are you going to do? Squeeze it out. How are you going to squeeze it out? If you actually squeeze the veggie to the point where you literally get rid of the oil from the vegetable, you're destroying the shvius. I mean, he's going to get crushed green peppers. Oh, he's going to eat crushed green peppers to the point that you got all the oil out of the green pepper, please. So, if you do a good job on the shvius and you actually get rid of the shemen, then he's going to wreck the vegetable and you're not allowed. The Torah said, lo'ochla. The Lola have said, remember, you're not allowed to be mafsid shvius vegetables. And if you just squeeze it a little bit, then you're not going to be able to get rid of the truma. So if you are of miar, if it's still going to be mixed, then what's the point of squeezing it? So don't squeeze and just go ahead and boil it. And Rabbi Shimon, okay. So if that would be the case, it would be, actually, you could have said that to him. Okay. Abaye did ask Rava from a different case, and even though, look, apparently we're looking about a case, I mean, obviously, because otherwise we could just say, why are we looking for new cases, right? Okay, so, yeah, I mean, Abaye could have just said, look, I, what do I have to give him a list of every case that shows that Rabbi Shimon would do a lechatchila? So we're doing this again. Now Abaye's got another question. So what's the point of asking these different rayas? Okay, so apparently he was chayshish, that was way out of the brisa that he brought. So he wants to bring down a different brisa, even though we had the Mishnah before, the Mishnah of Maaser Sheni, and that is that it says over here like this, that the truth is, this case is an extremely complicated case, which doesn't make any difference to us. The complications of the case are massive. It's talking about that he was a Safek Nazir Tame, a Safek Metzera Tame, and wasn't clear whether the carbon had been brought because of the Naziris or for the Tzeras. The bottom line is we can avoid all the complications. The only thing that's important to us is the fact that on the eighth day, he is not sure whether he's a Mitzorah Mukhlat. And what can he do in order to, now that he's obviously not a Mitzorah, he wants to know, what can I do to be able to be completely tar from my Tzeras? Because on the eighth day, he's supposed to be bringing, remember, the Karbanas together with the Luk Shemen, but the whole deal is sprinkling it towards the Heichal and putting it on his ear and his thumb and his toe and so on, right? So what does he do? So it says over there.
Sorry, Rabbi, before you get to, it was too fast, so I didn't catch it. Why are we again looking to press Rava and not satisfied? What was the explanation?
There was no explanation. I just said that it's clear that Abaye felt that there were ways out of that kasha. He didn't feel it's Eisen. That's all. The Achronim talk about what would have been the answer. Fine. But, I mean, it's not unusual to find that we look for a better raya. So we ask from this It says on the eighth day, which is, that's the next morning now. So he already did his tiglachat shniya. The mitzvah has to do a tiglachat, so the seventh day of his whole body, and then he brings his carbon the next day. Okay, so the next day he comes in with his carbon asham, with his asham mitzvah, and with the luk shemen of the mitzvah, and he says, look, I'm not sure that I'm a mitzvah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring this carbon as it's nigh. So if I am a mitzvah, it's a imshal mitzvah. Here is my asham mitzvah, and here is the oil, the luk shemen, that I'm supposed to be bringing with this carbon. If I'm not a mitzvah, so how can I bring it? I can't. So I'm not a mitzvah. I'm making this carbon not an asham. I'm making it a shlamim that I'm bringing just as an adava. And what I do to that carbon is I give it all of the chumras, like it says over here in our Mishnah, with a mixed asham and shlamim. So that would mean I do the shlita betzafain, and I need smicha, nesachim, tufas chazer v'shok. And in this case, I'm also going to give him a thumbs up, because I have to do the matan behinais. And so we'll use the oil for that, you know, and I'll do the dam for that. Remember, I have to give the dam to the behinais. And I'll do smicha and nesachim. Now, the truth is that smicha and nesachim, you would be doing anyway for shlomim or for an asham. So that part is not really all that meaningful. There's a slight difference, possibly, because it's about chokas, about the armor, is what Tosis points out, whether you really need a smicha for an asham etzera, whether you're only supposed to just touch it lightly, and you don't need a real smicha that you press down on it, whereas the shlomim you do. Okay, but certainly the nesachim they both need, and so the only thing that's 100% clear over here that you're doing, which is the chumra of the shlomim, is the tufas chazer v'shok. And you're going to have to finish it up in a day and a night. Okay, so how can you do that? After all, this is l'chatchila, and he's allowing you to do it l'chatchila. Well, of course he's allowing you to do it l'chatchila, because you have no choice. I mean, this is the same thing as the Bidi Avad. You're a mitzvah, or a Suffolk mitzvah. You're never going to be able to get Tameh, unless Rabbi Shimon allows you to do this. So in that case, Rabbi Shimon says, look, I'm not going to be makbid an NMV and shlomim v'beit apsul if it's going to mean that this guy's never going to be able to be tahar. But you can't bring a raya from here that in general Rabbi Shimon doesn't care, and that even l'chatchila he says, go right ahead. That's not true. This is a case of desperation. So tikkuni gavra shayne. Obviously, in order to make it possible for this person to now be mitukan, so that he's allowed to eat kachim and go through Beis HaMikdash and everything else, that's different. Okay. That's all very nice. I understand now we've explained the Rabbi Shimon thing. I'm just curious about the way that this whole thing works out. I mean, I know it's not our sugya, but if I could understand it better, I'd be happier. You're telling me that Rabbi Shimon says, bring it and then say, if it's not an ashram, then it's a shlamim in case I'm not a mitzara. That's all very nice, but what about the luk shemen? How are you allowed to bring the luk shemen? So, hotenach asham, if you're not really a mitzora, you can't bring kulin ba'azora and start sprinkling it. That's insane. So, how in the world would he really be able to bring the luk shemen if he's not a mitzora? What's the t'nai there? Well, what's the problem? You can say, I am bringing this luk shemen as a gift. Because the din is you're able, just like you could bring a mincha, with a regular mincha, one type of mincha that we learn out from the extra word by mincha, is that you can bring a luk shemen as a mincha. So, okay, so you say, in the event that I'm not a mitzora, then this luk shemen is a gift of a mincha from me personally to the mizbeach. Oh, wait a second over here. If he's not a mitzora, and this luk shemen is actually a mincha, you know that you're going to have to take a kometz, even though it sounds crazy. I didn't take a kometz of oil, but that's the din. You're going to have to take a kometz of this mincha, just like any other mincha. And you need to do kmitza, just like other mincha. Wow. So, I mean, what it really means is that you take the equivalent of the kometz. Obviously, it's put into something so it doesn't leak out of your fingers afterwards. So, okay, Sisigmar, okay, so do it. What's the big deal? So do Kmitza. Who are you hurting by doing Kmitza? So do Kmitza on the Luke Shaman Shamatsara. No. If you do Kmitza because maybe you're not a Mitzora, and this is a gift and it's a mincha, what happens if you are a Mitzora? Well, if you are a Mitzora, you're going to need to do the Matan Sheva. You're going to have to sprinkle towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim Sheva Pa'amim, remember? So what about that? So what about it? So do it. What's your problem? I don't understand why you're making so many problems. If he's not a Mitzora, he needs Kmitza. Fine, do Kmitza. If he is a Mitzora, so then he needs to do the Matan Sheva. Fine, so do the Matan Sheva. But you can't do the Matan Sheva. Because the Torah said that you can only do the Matan Sheva from a Lug Shemen. You don't have the Lug Shemen anymore. Because you had to do Kmitza and take it out. So now it's Chosser, it's not a Lug. It's a Lug Chosser Kmitza. And the Torah never allowed you to bring a Lug Chosser. So you're not going to be able to do the Matan Sheva. All right. Keep your collar on. You add a little bit of extra oil. So you do the Kmitza. Then you go into the makolet. You get more shemen. And then you go ahead and you add that shemen to the shemen. And you'll say, well, you can add. You certainly can. And I'll bring you a raya from the Mishnah in the Goyim that talks about exactly a case like this. If somebody is a mitzora and he was bringing his luk shemen and some of the oil spilled out before he had the chance to put it into his left hand, you have to take it one coin. Remember, it takes it in his right hand, puts it into the other coin's left hand. That coin takes it with his right finger and sprinkles it, whatever. But the point is, if before you got it to the yitzika of that coin number two that's supposed to be putting the luk shemen on this guy, then if it spills, just bring a little additional oil and fill it up again. So that's what you'll do. You'll fill it up again. Oh, wait a minute. But Kometz is not enough. If this guy was actually not a Mitzora and he's bringing a Mincha, then after the Kometz, he has to go ahead and burn it on the Mizbeach, right? He burns the oil on the Mizbeach. Okay. So burn it. I don't get it. So burn it. You can't burn it, my dear. Because look, when are you going to burn it? Let's think about this. If you burn it after you gave that sprinkling of seven times, then the halacha is that if you have shirayim, of some of the shirayim disappeared between the time you did the kmitza and the haktara, you cannot put it on the mizbeach anymore. Because now, after you did the kmitza, I saw you giving those seven sprinklings to that. Those seven sprinklings now wrecked it because now it's chaser, the shirayim are chaser. You can't add to that because you already did the kmitz on the other part. Aha. So then this is shirayim that are chaser between kmitz and akhtar, and you're never going to be able to burn it on the mizbeah because the halacha is you cannot burn the kometz of any mincha where something happened to the shirayim after you took the kmitza. Obviously, here you can't add to it because you already did the kmitza. So that's no good. What are you going to do now? And if you say, okay, so what's the big deal? Burn the kometz before you do the matan sheva. So then there's no problem. You first do the kmitza, and you burn the kometz, and then you take the matan sheva. So what's the deal? And as far as the question, but you took all of this stuff out of it. That's not a problem because the Matan Sheva are a din in the Mitzora, and we already saw it. You can bring oil from the store and just add it when it comes to the Mitzora. So, no good. Because if you burnt the Kometz before you bring the Matan Sheva, you're not allowed to do those seven Hazoyos. Why not? So this is an important akuda because it is going to be, the Gemara's arranged this so beautifully because each Mishnah leads into the next Mishnah. This is fantastic. So the next Mishnah is going to be discussing exactly this problem. So this problem is that remember that it says in the Torah and Vayikra at the beginning, Kol se'or v'chol devash lo taktiru mimenu ishe l'Hashem. Now, the question is, why does it say lo taktiru mimenu? All it needed to say is, Kol se'or v'chol devash lo taktiru ishe l'Hashem. So don't bring any kind of something that was chametz or something that was a pri, or sweet, something that has fruit sugar in it. You can't bring it. But why does it say that extra menu? So from there we learn a very important halacha, that not only is the Torah telling me that you're not allowed to bring se'or v'dvash on the Mizbeach, there's a third item that you cannot bring. And what's that third item called? Mimenu. What? What's a mimenu? Ah, a mimenu is you can't bring anything on the Mizbeach if something of what you're bringing on the Mizbeach was already brought on the Mizbeach. So, in this case, you're telling me, well, what's the problem? You could still do your Matna Sheva after you did the Haktorah. No, because if you did the Haktorah, and this is actually the Shiraim of that Haktorah. And now you're saying, well, but maybe it's not the Shiraim. Maybe I need to do the Matna Sheva. Yeah, but maybe you don't need to do the Matna Sheva, and then you're doing a big no-no. It's just a law in the Torah. You can't do it because, well, I mean, you know, I got to do it because I got to be Torah. You can't do an Isser Lav in order to get Torah. So therefore, when he wants to go ahead and do the Matan Sheva, which is the equivalent of the Haktorah of the Luk Shemen, as Rashi points out, so then you'll be over on the Isser of Lo Taktiru Mimenu. So no matter what you do, you're finished. You can't do the Matan Sheva after the Haktorah, and you can't do it, you can't do it before, because then you won't be able to do the Haktorah at all because of the problem of Shiraim Shechosru. So no matter which way you go, you're stuck. That's what I'm worried about over here, where you say that there's always an Eitzah. On, I don't see the Eitzah on the Luk Shemen, because Kol Shememenu Le'ishim, Harehu Bebal Taktiru. That's the rule. Omer of Yudah Bereder Shimon Ben Pazi. And this is yet the next Mishnah. It's not great the way it's all arranged. So it's not a problem. You know why? Because if you take a look at that pasuk, what it says is not stam lo taktiru mimenu. The next words are, right after saying lo taktiru mimenu isha, it says, instead, what do you do with chametz and what do you do with fruit? Ah, you bring them as a korban reishis, takrivo sam lashem. You bring them as your first reishis. What's the korban reishis? So there, what we're talking about is you bring them for bikurim, and you bring them for the other reishis. The other reishis is the fact that you bring chametz for the heter of the new grains of wheat on Shavuos. That's the shtei alecha. Those are both reishis, right? This is the bikurim is called reishis. It's the first of your fruits, and this is the reishis, the first of your menachas. So use them for korban reishis. Okay, that's fine. But look at the next words. Ve'el ha-mizbeach lo yalu l'reach nichoach. Now, what's that about? Just say, el ha-mizbeach lo yalu. If you're telling me el ha-mizbeach lo yalu l'reach nichoach, it means, I'm not telling you not to put it on the mizbeach. I'm telling you not to put on the mizbeach as a haktara. I mean, suppose you want to use fuel that was chometz. Old bread. Instead of burning wood, you're going to burn old bread on the mizbeach to generate heat. Can you do that? Yeah. I'm just using it for fuel. And therefore, when it says over here, l'reach michoach, it means what it says. Namely, the Tanya Reb Eliezer Omer, l'reach michoach yatamala. You can't bring it up with a kavana that it should be a korban. Aval atamala l'shem eitzim. You can bring it up for fuel. So as long as your machshava is not for reach lichoach, there's no iser. So therefore, all you have to do is when you're bringing the matan sheva in this case, what you say is you're making a tanai. If, in fact, I am a mitzera and I need to do the matan sheva, so then this is a perfectly kosher matan sheva. If not, then what this is nothing really, but that doesn't matter. I'm just going to put it up there with the thought that this is water on the Mizbeach. It has nothing to do with a carbon. Fine. So that's good enough.
Rabbi saying what? Isn't it to be Eitzim, Dafka?
No. Eitzim. No. The reason that it says Eitzim is because the case in the Mishnah are solids. But the concept is still correct. We use the word Eitzim because it has to match the case, which is Kol Se'or V'Chol Dvash, which is not liquid. Right? It's Peiros. So we talk about wood. So then that becomes the model for this concept of bringing something up, not for purposes of Haktorah. But the actuality would be if you're dealing with a liquid, you'll say, okay, I'll bring this liquid as if it's water. But I'm not bringing it for any type of real carbon. Okay. So far you've handled all the problems, but there's one problem that you haven't handled. Remember that you poured a little bit in extra because you needed to put in more after you took out the kometz, because maybe this was the lug of the Metzerah, and the lug of Metzerah has to be a whole lug. So you said, okay, so what's the big deal? Buy some oil in the makolot and add it. So you added that oil, right? But what if this actually is a mincha? Now, the oil that you added after the kmitza, you're not allowed to eat it because you never did the kmitza on it. And therefore, if it actually is a nedava, so how in the world could that kohen eat the leftovers if it's mixed with oil from the makolet that is not kosher, because a mincha is only kosher for the kohen after kmitza? But you did the kmitza before and you added this oil afterwards. Now, how are you going to eat it? And you said the coin's going to be able to eat it now. Now, well, you can always be part of the oil. You could say, if, in fact, I was actually not a Metzora, and this oil was thrown in there, and it was thrown in there after the Kmitza, then I want to be part of all of that oil and make it chulin. And I'm allowed to eat chulin. It's only if it was kodesh as a mincha that I'm not allowed to eat it. So since originally I always knew that I might need to be poda it, I never had in mind to give it the kedushas kli vanai on the tznai that I ended up not being a mitzora. I didn't want it to be kodesh b'kli, in which case it doesn't have kedushas aguf and I can be poda it. It's only kedushas damim. So I can even handle that problem symbolically. Ah, gotcha there. Where exactly are you going to be poda it? Where are you standing? The Purik Le'echa. If you're standing in the Azara, now the moment that you're poda it, it becomes chulin, but now you're bringing chulin into the Azara. You're not allowed to bring chulin into the Azara. Unless, of course, the kohen that you're with is fast asleep and doesn't notice. That can happen, especially if it's a very tired Barnea. But, there he goes. All right, but like this, you're going to be bringing chulin Azara. And if you take it outside of the Azara, then the whole thing is going to be puzzle because now it's Yotze. So what are you going to do? It's brilliant. No matter where you go, there's always a problem. It's not a problem. You can be put it in the Azara, as you're saying, but you brought, I didn't bring the chulin in. It was here. Now it became chulin, you know. So it's abracadabra. Now there's chulin in the Azara. You can't say, I brought the chulin in the Azara. The chulin happened on its own. So the chulin is a memela. There was chulin in the Azara because this was part of it. So the chulin memela havyan. Now, if you think that we're going to believe the big N anymore when he says, yeah, I can make it all right, 7:45, plenty of time, you got some news coming, let me tell you. Now we want some realistic timing from now on. All right.
Well, I was on.
Oh, you were on?
Yeah.
It wasn't just a name?
No.
Oh.
I was there.
Oh, okay. I apologize. I thought your policy was to show your face lately.
Okay. I read the late week slightly.
Okay. All right, so that's okay. But there's one big problem about this whole mess. Rabbi Shimon, and this whole thing is supposed to be according to Rabbi Shimon, right? The problem is that Rabbi Shimon's shita himself is that you are not allowed to be menadev shemen. There's no such thing. You can't bring a mincha of shemen. The Torah never gave you the option of bringing a mincha of shemen. So how in the world does this whole discussion begin? How can Rabbi Shimon say, well, you can always bring it on the eighth day and you make it tonight? You can't make it tonight because there's no way to bring that oil. Huh. Well, tikune gavra shiny. Rabbi Shimon would agree that in a case where the guy is not going to be able to become tahor, you can bring the shemen, which means l'chora. I mean, there are other approaches to it, but then the most reasonable approach is that the Torah, he agrees, the Torah is marred by the concept of shemen as a mincha, but it never told you to bring a carbon like that. There is a carbon like that, but it's not one of the korbanas that you are told to bring im from, you know, mafe tanur, you want to bring it, or im, you want to bring it from solid, it's not listed. So therefore, the carbon can be brought, but only where it's needed for some particular use. In this case, it's needed in order to be a tikkun gavra, so therefore I understand that I can bring it. But normally, I would not be menadeh. So in order to be metaken gavra, it's shinei. Hey, once Rav Rechumi was sitting there in front of Ravina, and he was saying, over Rav Yosef Karman Beshbeid Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa, and he says, you know, Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa came up with this? A brilliant insight. Because, look, why do we have to go through all this rigmarole of taking an asham and saying, well, but if I'm not a mitzora, I will actually make this into a shlomim. I have a much better idea. Ask Richie. He's always feeling guilty about something. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer Shita is, bring an asham toloi every day. The guiltier you feel, the more asham tolois you can bring. So, you don't have to know you did anything wrong to bring an asham toloi, and that way you can be happy figuring, well, if I did anything wrong, at least this will fix it. Great. So therefore, what you should say is like this. You should say, this is Rabbi Eliezer Shita. You should say, if I'm a mitzera, then this is my asham mitzera. But if it's I'm not a mitzera, then this should be an asham toloi. But an Asham Toloi and Asham Mitzera would have exactly the same thing. You wouldn't get into all of this mess about the Shlomim. Really, you're going to be maybe the Shlomim, the Beit HaPsul. The Asham is also only eaten for one night. So what's the problem? It's great. I'll tell you what you learn from here, said Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa. You learn from here that the Tana that argues on Rabbi Eliezer is Rabbi Shimon. Because since Rabbi Shimon says, look, there's nothing you can do except to make this t'nai that I'm going to make a shlomim, and he foregoes the obvious answer of bringing an asham toloi, so he apparently doesn't know the Rabbi Eliezer. We never knew who that was. Ha-ha! Am I not brilliant? It must be Rabbi Shimon that says, ein misnadvim asham toloi. And Ravina goes, oh my God. Tera, tera. How can an Adam Gadol say something so ridiculous when you're not thinking, man? There's a big difference between a lamb and a ram. Remember, we were just talking about this before. The only asham that is brought from kvasim, we were talking before about why you can't get mixed up, right? Is the younger, the asham mitzera and the asham nazir are brought from kvasim, which are b'nei shana. But an asham toloi is like all ashams, and it has to be brought from an ayil, which is already mature. And you are confusing imre bedichre. So you can't ever make a tanai like that because it wouldn't be a kosher asham anyway. It would be the wrong type of animal. Okay, that was lots of fun. Even Richie is coming out feeling like a new man. He's collecting a lot of asham toloi's, getting them ready to be brought in the newly built Beis HaMikdash. Probably will be enough asham toloi's from Richie alone to keep things moving for the first couple of weeks before we get things together. So that's great. make sure that Barnea doesn't fall asleep on you. Shavua Tov, everyone. Look forward to see you tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem Yisbarach. Hinei El Yeshua Si Eftach V'lo Efchot.